Are you a clinician in primary care who wishes there were better resources to help you understand how to navigate the concept of triage in modern general practice? We'll boost your triage skills with our dynamic 5-session live webinar course tailored for primary care clinicians. Led by myself and Dr. Ed Pooley from Difficult Conversations, this comprehensive training covers all facets of remote patient triage, whether that be digital, on-call, or other opportunities. Through this course, you'll gain practical knowledge, exclusive hints and tips, and direct access to myself and Ed through open Q&A sessions of the course. Elevate your ability to manage primary care challenges effectively and confidently, and most importantly, safely. Register now to transform your triage approach at bit.ly/GP triage course, the GP in capitals, and we will definitely catch you then.
From the 1st of November, GP record access is meant to be starting in terms of what's called accelerated or prospective record access, depending on which term you use. The BMA have now released their guidance in terms of what they feel that needs to happen. And in this episode, we're going to cover that for you. And if you want to act on this, you've got to be really quick because you've only got a few days left. Let's tech enhance your primary care and learning. So the BMA have released their guidance in terms of what they feel needs to happen for accelerated, or as many other people know as it called, prospective record access. And we're going to cover their guidance for practices in terms of what they need to do in order to keep in line with their contractual requirements, but also, and especially, keeping patients safe. Let's have a look at the guidance itself, shall we? So the link to this page is in the show notes, so feel free to have a look in the description down below. However, once you go to this page, this is the news update page from the BMA. It talks about two guidance documents in particular. So if you scroll down, you'll see the actual guidance for practices and a template letter. We'll come to the template letter in a second. In terms of the actual guidance itself, when you click on it, you get this 6-page letter that basically sets the tone for what is happening with record access. It talks about the fact that this is an action that's being taken by NHS England to start opening records, and actually for many practices, this may be appropriate and they're in the right place to do so. However, what they do recognise is the significant workload that comes with this action, and that at this point in time, for general practice in particular, it may not be feasible for practices to do that effectively. It does also then talk about the issues, in particular in terms of the necessary safeguards and stuff that needs to be in place for data, and in particular about this concept of redaction. So redaction is hiding parts of the record when it is appropriate to do so. So for example, in particular, this may be in safeguarding situations, third-party data where you don't have permission to share that data, and in line with data governance rules, that's appropriate to do so, and the patient shouldn't be able to see that information. However, unfortunately, the systems that we have are not smart or intelligent enough to be able to redact or hide particular parts of entries. It's part of an entry. It's basically a whole entry or nothing. And that's a key issue. Say, for example, if you've got a telephone number or a name, for example, that the patient shouldn't be able to see because they do not have permission to share it or that kind of stuff, then you can't block that part out. In order to then actually do this appropriately, then, as I mentioned, you have to block out the whole part of that entry and stuff. And that raises the question of the validity of stuff and things. It comments briefly about what is able to be shared, although I know there's many questions across different parts as to what that could be and stuff. And also talks about the need for copying that information across when patients potentially move. And that's what it talks about in the clinical safety concerns. So one of the key issues is that when patients move practices, any redactions that have been put in by a practice are automatically cleaned off the records because, again, the system providers don't have the ability to prevent that from happening. That is a key issue. It is also important to note that one of the things it talks about is that, you know, different access codes and stuff may be relevant. So, for example, many patients share their phones with other people, give them access and stuff. By doing this, and because it hasn't been public knowledge campaign to share this information, that patients may not be aware that they could potentially be sharing their medical information without realizing it and stuff. This is definitely relevant in safeguarding situations, but also just in general public situations as well. Legal background, so important to note that general practice are data controllers under the lines of the Data Protection Act in 2018, and it sets out that responsibility and why actually this may need some care and attention by practices currently. So what are the options? Well, it talks about this on page 4, and effectively it comes down to a few different ones. Because of the fact that currently only TPP System 1 and EMIS are the systems that are able to allow prospective record access, most of the guidance applies to practices covered by those two systems. Vision, which isn't run by Cegedem, is due to happen at some point in the near future, but because of the technology involved, that's not currently available. There is a checklist that you can have a look at and stuff. However, one of the three options you've got, though there are technically four. So the fourth option that they haven't mentioned is you can just carry on and let this happen if you're ready and able to do so within your practice. And there will be some practices where they are ready for this to happen. However, if you're not, then there are three options that you've got. Option one is write a letter to the system provider saying that you wish to have this switched off. And as I mentioned, this needs to be done very quickly because that letter needs to be with the system providers, TPP or EMIS, by the 31st of October. So given the fact we're 4 days away from that and there's a weekend, that needs to happen fairly quickly. The template letter is included, and that's the link you saw before. It's a simple letter and stuff, and you just need to put your details in. And where to send it is on page 4 of this document, as you can see here. Option 2 is to run a focus search for patients who should not have a record access automatically. And that's, for example, situations of safeguarding, situations where there's vulnerabilities like patients with learning disabilities, proxy record access, that kind of stuff. And there are searches available. Different providers have been able to do that. So companies like Redmore Health, Arden's, Primary Care IT, that kind of stuff. There are some really good searches out there. And there's a link to some of the searches that you can potentially run available. You may need to create these yourself, though, if you don't have access to those other providers. Alternately, option 3, which is where you add a batch code to all patients in your practice, and that's a SNOMED code, which is 1364731 and 60104, which is the enhanced review indicated before granting access to own health record. Important note, this won't stop people who already have online access from continuing to see their records, but anybody new moving forwards won't be able to unless that record has been reviewed and then authorised and accessed from there. Those are your main options and stuff. It does comment about the fact that by doing this delay, you're still complying with contractual requirements. It is possible NHS England may see the earlier option of option 1 as a breach of contract because they have made this a contractual requirement to share records with patients. And it'll be interesting to see what happens at that point. Although the BMA have made it quite clear, they do not feel that that's the responsibility of the practice to bear because actually their responsibility as data controller trumps that of their contractual requirement in this situation. There is plans to then look at what happens moving forward. NHS England have made it clear that they plan to also enable historic access from next year, which will be an interesting part because the amount of work involved in that is considerably higher and more in detail. But what do you think? There are various options you can take, and I'm keen to know what you think and which actions you'll be taking as a practice. Additionally, if you want help with understanding some of this stuff, we'll check out this video right here that shows you how to redact information in System 1. Alternately, if you're ready for all of this, or you've got to a point where you are now ready, then feel free to share this video with your patients, which shows them how to access their information through the GP records through the NHS app.
Oh, hello there, GP learner. I'm Dr. Gandalf, and I often get asked, what kind of resources do you have to try and help those using EMIS? Because you tend to do a lot more stuff for System 1. And often I've really struggled to answer that question because, let's be honest, I don't use EMIS on a regular basis. So therefore, trying to help EMIS users is a little bit more difficult for myself. And that really made me feel, well, not great. So I kind of did something to try and help all those EMIS users out there. I went and had a chat with one of my colleagues, Dr. Mike from GP on the Move, and him and I have created a course that you can use to help you use EMIS so much better. That's right, if you use EMIS, but you want to use it so much better, so much quicker, and in such a way that means you go home sooner, then check out our EMIS for Clinicians course. It's an online course that takes you through all the tips and tricks that Dr. Mike knows to try and basically mean you can go home quicker. That'd be a cool thing, wouldn't it? And guess what? It's currently on offer. So if you want to take advantage of this introductory offer and get access to it now, look at the links down below and check it out. Additionally, if you're a practice, network, or wide area that wants more opportunity to use it, send me an email, egplearning@gmail.com. Let's see if we can help you out. And as I like to say, tech enhance your primary care and learning. Shall we get back to it? Oh, and if you wanted one for System 1 users, well, you know I've got you covered, haven't I? Check out the Learn System 1 for Clinicians course, bit.ly/TPP S1 course.